train kebab because maybe some unrest that we had in the country. Now, Mr. Zakani also mentioned that 30 years ago he said that there were vested interests of some people were in place. We shouldn't look at everything so dark and draw a very bleak picture of everything. And from the year, from 30 years ago onward, we had a government that was the government of reform, Mr. Khatami's reform. It was justice-based, honesty and proper work. This was what they were working on and trying to help justice prevail. Even during Mr. Ahmadinejad's government, we had the issue of housing, the Meh housing project. Of course, later it faced some problems. Maybe there was a host of issues that it faced, but it was a plan. One person could have a house with a little amount of money. However, the subsidy payment that he embarked on to help the people. Also, I remember the year 1384, 16 years ago, when women were present in stadiums. And hopefully we can work on that.
Thank you very much.
Stick to the Constitution, Article 10, that the joke that was played on
the Thank you very much. I respect the candidates and dear viewers. In the last part of the second presidential debate, this debate, each one of the candidates has 4 minutes to sum up what was discussed today. We will choose them randomly. We will choose the candidates by random. Candidate number one, Mr. Rezaei, you have 4 minutes to sum up what was discussed today.
Well, the title of my government is Action and Development. Action means one should set aside slogans, and development means that there should be major surgeries carried out, because social problems have their roots in economic problems, and economic problems have their roots in structural, political, and managerial issues. Therefore, there should be a logical action taken up. My government's plan is based on reforming from within the power, and since my relationship with the establishment has been a stable one since I was 17 years old, more than 50 years, I've tread the direct path. There is this trust between me and the establishment, and also the relationship I have with other friends from the armed forces, the parliament, the judiciary, and so on. I can claim that there's going to be basic reformation from the top to the down. I will start from the government, the ministries, the affiliated companies, and the bureaucratic establishments. They must be improved. There are so many director generals, governors, and experts and managers. They are very good people, but the bureaucracy and also the complicated systems with different directives and bylaws and a set of instructions, regulations, and so on, and that has brought about many problems. This must be eliminated. The second point is the organs affiliated to the leadership. They are, even though they are affiliated to the leadership, they are serving the government, such as the Mossadegh Foundation, and so on, Khatam base, and I can offer a proposal to the leader in order to better make use of these organs, and also making what Mr. Raisi has started in the judiciary will be that can bring about major developments, or the revolutionary parliament that has taken shape. I will help them all. I will activate meetings attended by head of the three branches. I will demand the leader that in case of his agreement, I will, in case of disagreement, I will dissolve the Cultural Council. So that we'll be able to address the youth problems. The other point is reforming the factions. The principle is that the reformists are assets, but those infiltrating these factions, there are some infiltrators, and today, in this blessed time, if we cannot just create that, improve the structure, we will come up with problems. So there is the need for major reforms within the power in order to resolve the managerial structure and get into economic matters. And through economic matters, we'll be able to resolve social issues.
Thank you.
So this is a serious development that will take shape.
Let's choose the next candidate. Candidate number 5, Mr. Jalili, you have 5 minutes to, excuse me, 4 minutes to sum up what was discussed.
Now, the point I want to raise here, addressing our people, unfortunately, certain issues are dealt with generously, and we're losing the country's assets. It's the issue of time. Let's say we have squandered a lot of time. 8 years passed. Now, in the 8 years, what happened in the country was delay and a halt. Now, how should we get rid of this harm? This is an important issue. What's the role of the president? It's a very big role. I mean, when you realize things properly, when you identify the right response, when you have the right approach as president, now we are at the threshold of an election. How are we going to perform? One thing is that we can simply push things in this country forcibly. Some of our friends say that this is not possible. Well, yes. Now, I've done studies. I'm not playing journalistic games. I'm here to defend what I'm saying. I mean, the country in the next 4 years, we should not only run the country. Today, the country requires to see some jump, some leap. This is a must. It's possible, and we can. And I'm ready to discuss things with whoever doesn't accept this so that people can make their choice. But this needs, this requires thinking. You should jump at the chance. You shouldn't waste time. We should say, okay, let's see what happens. Since day one, you should start your plans, implementing your plans. You are now saying that we are still waiting for FAT, if it was ratified or not. There is a country with such a huge economy, with 80 million population. You shouldn't wait for a few people or to wait for something to happen. You should have your own plan. So since day one, Dr. Rezaei was also witness to this. I said in the assembly that we shouldn't drag our foot. You came and you said that let's just not publicize it. Well, that's what I truly believe in. We shouldn't keep the country waiting for one thing. You don't understand the problem. That's the problem. You don't have the right comprehension and understanding of the problem. When you don't realize what the problem is exactly, then your approach is a wrong one, and you cannot come to any conclusion. Now, you're talking about people who do the trafficking in rucksack. You said, well, yes, we feel sorry for him. Why he had to do this? Yes, I went to Bane and Bashmak border areas. I talked to those people who do the trafficking in rucksack. Sometimes you go to them and you talk to them. Sometimes you can say that, okay, you can change into an exporter. We had the movie, and after 2 years, that person said that every month they had exports of $500 million with the cooperative that they informed. We can turn them into exporters. That's what we did. This is how you should look at the country's opportunities and what you're planning to do. And regarding the tariffs and the plans regarding women, I'm talking about 500 million tomans. We had another one, 320 million tomans. In a village in Sadabad, in Bushehr province, for example, we had this palm cooperatives of 4,000 people. They said we have this equipment for packaging dates, and the bank says because the installment is not paid in due time, it's confiscated, and then it's sold out. And then the person who bought this, they simply dismantled the equipment and sold it. So what the hell was the government's job? I'm in the very same government that says $90,000 billion is being possessed by 11 people. I mean, the president, you are choosing
Thank
the
you.
President. He needs to be able to know exactly what the capacities of the country is, and that for the sake of leave,
Thank
not for
you
the
very much.
Ordinarily.
Thank you very much. The next candidate number four, Mr. Ghazi Zadeh Hashemi, you have 4 minutes to sum up what was discussed.
In the name of God, the president is in charge of the country's approaches and must converge the beneficiaries in order to maintain national interests and promote the people's livelihood. But today, we have to express our views about a variety of issues so that the people would come up with a general outline about the hopeful perspective. I believe that in the field of economy, our economy must be generative from within, and it must be extrovert as well. So that's the function of the foreign ministry. It must maintain our interests and an economic contribute to economic diplomacy. And I believe the foreign minister must be a successful businessman. And the ranking of our embassies must be based on the volume of transactions that take place. We have 1,500 companies, economic companies, and these act as backyards. And you see some of them are these organizations that are partly state-run, partly private. And the supervisory regulatory bodies cannot control them. We have prepared a plan inviting all specialists to take part in the presiding board and board of directors of these companies. And the 7,500 people who are going to run the 1,500 companies, they have to be chosen by university lecturers and academicians. I'm addressing the young people now. Those who are criticizing us and they have the youths who have the feeling that they are behind closed doors. They have remained behind closed doors, and the youths who are tired of controversies between and disputes between principalists and reformists, and they want to see the country as a powerful country. Salam government is the government of the youths and the new generation, the government of those, and they have benefited from the youths, and it's beyond this government. The Salam government is beyond the factions and political factions and comprises youths from various ethnicities. That includes different ethnicities, the Sunnis and Shiites and so on. We, the youths, have come to say that we replace whatever has existed and we are a generation to replace in order to benefit from all experts and specialists. That includes all factions and those who are not inside any faction, and also remove the opportunists, because this, the revolution belongs to the people, and we have no economic cartel, we only have the youths backing us. And I was called on phone since the previous debate. You can help, and every young man can be a headquarter.
Thank you very much. Let's choose the next candidate by lot. Candidate number three, Mr. Mehradizadeh, you have 4 minutes to sum up what was discussed.
Okay, noble Iranian people, I know that you're tired. I know that you're tired of promises, tired of discrimination and hardship. I'm aware that you're sick of rent-seeking, corruption, insults, and all this awareness has maybe dried up the sapling of hope and rays of hope. Maybe you're telling yourself and thinking to yourself that these are also the same bunch of people like the ones before them. They just came here, they made some promises, and then they leave. And if they're honest and stick to their promises, how far will they be allowed to do what they promise they will do? How far will they be able to do that? So that, you might say, that what difference does it make who gets the most votes? I'm asking you, if your vote didn't work, why didn't they make so much limitations, put some limitations on the electoral candidates? Why did they mobilize everything so that they wanted to have one person to be elected? So why should they have they want a huge turnout? And unlike slogans, huge turnout is what they are expecting to happen. It's all because, again, it's your decision that they are concerned about. Didn't you see how they talked to us? Didn't you notice, instead of finding solutions, that they say that the whole economy, that we will have the whole economists at our service, they are threatening the candidates, that we will not allow you to leave the country, we'll take you to court. Sometimes they talk to you as if they are lords and the people are their, as people are pawns and they are commanders, or as their people are, the accused, and these are judges. So this is really a place that is below really the dignity of a president, the things that are being raised here. Instead of talking about foreign policy, instead of talking about policies, lifting sanctions, they're just asking, they're raising some mean and questions that are not really significant. So, I'm telling you people that I pledge solemnly in the presence of Almighty God that we will have transparent mechanisms in place. We will register all contracts, we'll publicize it for everyone to know, and we'll have this free flow of information. We'll have expansion of freedom of expression, the media, our stand against all kind of filtering. We'll have a foresight of all civil societies and unions. I'll provide all of this. We will have some presidential promises when I turn them into bills and I put them forward to the parliament. I'll have constant contact with media and reporters. We'll boost the e-government. We'll take advantage of the youth and the elite and to delegate them with some powers apart from gender, apart from ethnicity and faith. We'll move the obstacles in the way of generating wealth and employment. We will bring welfare to the people of Iran. As Imam Ali says, the master of the justice seekers, he says, we just want to restore the rights of the oppressed.
Thank you very much.
I was not afraid of this. I would never come to this stage. So let's
join
hands and let's not allow a number of minority to decide.
Thank you very
us.
Much. Let's choose the next candidate by lot, candidate number 6, Mr. Raisi. You have 4 minutes to sum up what was discussed. The floor is yours.
In the name of God, as a presidential candidate, the country's matters must be detected. On a categorized basis to see what the problem is and what are the solutions and what are the priorities with respect to any particular solution, and there should be the needed strength in order to overcome the problem. This is an important matter. Since the triumph of the Islamic Revolution, I can remember many individuals who were fully free, and they even targeted the structure of the country, and they insulted many people. And when you objected to them, they would say that there's no freedom. That's been quite strange. A person who is a presidential hopeful, and in this position, he makes statements that is aimed at tarnishing the structure, and statements that actually disappoints the people, creates doubts in the minds of the people. And then the person would say, you see, there is no freedom, we cannot speak, and so on. What have you considered the people? The people have understanding and cognition. I'm prepared to go anywhere, to any park, to any public congregation, to see what is people's perspective towards the government, and what is their perspective towards me as a cleric. We are before the people. Why are we speaking in this way? In the previous round, I was insulted in this hall. I did not make any complaint, and you see that 200 complaints were filed at the Justice Department, but I'm a judge. I did not complain. I did not file any lawsuit, but they have made so many complaints. Why aren't you acting properly? Republic means that all people's, the rights of all people must be protected with any language in any zone. We believe that cyberspace is the best structure for supervision. We have implemented this in the Justice Administration, and the people have seen this in practice, and we are evaluating every judge, every employee at the judiciary based on people's views. There are 35 systems that have been activated. 40 more systems will be activated till the end of the year. What we did with respect to the coronavirus pandemic, what did that turn into a role model for the world? And we have given leaves to 120,000 inmates. And we have already done this. This has turned into a role model for the world. And these are a source of pride in the name of the Islamic establishment. We will have morality police for managers.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. The next candidate, candidate number two, Mr. Zakani, you have 4 minutes to sum up what was discussed. The floor is yours.
Well, I'm really surprised to see those who have caused the status quo, they themselves are now claiming, and they are playing victim. I'm really sorry for the young people in my country, and maybe more than other friends and colleagues. Since day one, I've been among the youth, be it during the whole of defense war days, and also at the university when I was a student, and today and yesterday in the Supreme Council, we had a meeting with 88,000 people, and today with the research center, we met a large number of elites in the country. So I know exactly what the sufferings of the youth are. They are exhausted. Our youth are sick and tired of discrimination and corruption, and also being humiliated. I mean, when there are three brothers, 250,000 billion tomans put at their disposal, and the whole pension of the receivers, that they receive 500,000 million tomans. This is a great tyranny. Despotism will try to uproot this. Now the youth, whatever is the source of their worry, they need to be tackled with the issue of the university entrance exams and jobs and whatever they require, the issue of housing, marriage, Hopefully we will do act accordingly on the basis of comprehensive plan. We have a plan in place and we'll put it forth. We have to put that forward. Now, we're talking about boys and girls and threatening them. We are going to fight to keep privacy of the people. That's our red line, protecting people's privacy. Nobody should step into that realm. This is part of our Islamic mottos and principles and teachings of Islam, the late Imam Khomeini ordered about this years ago, 30 years ago. So this is the issue of justice and caution, and also the teachers should also, their dignity and their status, their livelihood, their participation, everything should be considered and should be reckoned with, and they need to do things, push things forward. No difference there should be between the oil ministry, for instance, staffers and teachers. People hate lies. Take a look at this picture. Here, look, we had 49% inflation and then 52% inflation. It's the friends of Mr. Hemeti who did all this. Mr. Hemeti himself on the 7th of Khordad last year, he said only 22% of inflation was there, and a few percent more or less will have that. Now we have 52% of inflation, point-to-point inflation. This is a source of embarrassment. People are angry to see this. Our academia are tired to see that their knowledge is not being put to use, their expertise is not being used. That's what will be the focus of our attention to bring about change. And we have 14 million university graduates that are awaiting the government to do something for them, set the stage for them to do so. Of course, we're not only going to work for our staffers, we're going to work for the entire population. So we need to be at the service of everyone. Now, to talk about fervor and excitement, it's when you have your pockets full. Unfortunately, parents' feathers are full, their faces are red because of embarrassment. They're talking about messages and SMS messages. The worst ones are the ones that say that your bank installment is overdue or you don't have enough money in your account. People are suffering. Why didn't you reach out to them? And, you know, they talk about 26 spies that were arrested in this very same government. This is the highest security level of government. So we need to save the sports and arts. We should let the government leave. I mean, on the security special branch of the government. So the issue of filtering and such issues that were mentioned, we're against filtering. We want an internet which is expensive, which is high speed, and which is secure at the same time. Hopefully this will happen.
Thank you. The last candidate who is going to sum up what was discussed, candidate number 7, Mr. Hemeti, you have 4 minutes to sum up what was discussed.
I want to mention a few points. Based on what was said, I believe the performance of every individual is clear. You can understand from the other candidates' viewpoints. What I'm saying is that why can't we make a decision in this way about the society, how the people should live, how they should walk or do, allow the people to live as they want. I'm addressing the youths. 60% have said that we are not going to cast ballots. You're talking about 40%. I'm talking about 60%. Why don't you want to pay attention to these things? You say you are going to interact. And they're going to play rap music, and then the rap music is banned, and then our youths are after the K-pop, the Korean pop, but we have our underground rap music. So shouldn't you defend these things? You should tell the other candidates, should tell the young people whether they accept it or not. Why should Kalhor Shajarian and so on, why should they be ignored? And when there's the elections, all the pop and rap musics are used in campaigns, presidential campaigns, and there are actors, and to take photos with actors, actresses, and singers. Either you should endorse these things and I have to talk about the economy, and I will resolve everything from the economic perspective. Economy requires reformation, and that requires eliminating conflict, overcoming conflict of interest. There are rent groups, and that must be resolved. That has been mentioned by the leader. The budget must be revised. 50% of GDP that doesn't pay tax. Why? These are the middlemen. They are traders of sanctions overseas, and in the society they are creating monsters, and they are exchanging dirty money. What I'm saying is that the president should start making this transparent, stop corruption. You're saying, when did we say that we want to make the White House a Hosseinia? Mr. Raisi, you said that there were employees filing a lawsuit against you. What will the people understand? And when you didn't I serve the BIA? I have served this country for 40 years in important position, Mr. Mehralizade. I served the country. Why have we done this, that you consider us as your employees? Dear people, I want to change this approach. Come, I ask you to come to the scene, and every person must call 10 other individuals, do the follow-up, and all the people must come to the scene and cast their ballots, and do not allow this approach to just making jokes or making mockery and so on. So I ask you to take this serious, and I'm certain that the people will not lose this chance, and we should not allow the development train to pass, and we should catch that train.
Thank you very much. Thank you all seven candidates. I thank you wholeheartedly for coming here to this program, to this debate. I also thank our dear viewers who have been following us through whatever channel available to them and watched this debate. And also I thank my colleagues at different parts of the IRIB, the political department, production department, other departments of the IRIB, and
you have just listened to the second televised debate between Iran's presidential candidates. All the candidates set out their plans and policies. It was a good-natured and good-tempered debate, with the presidential candidates setting out their policies if they become president for the next 4 years. The elections itself will be held on Friday, 18th of June, and canvassing will stop on Wednesday night, 16th of June. We now go back to our regular programming. Thanks for being with us.
This is IRIB English Radio. What you just heard was our special coverage. We now return to our normal course of programs.
Is there any other way to get familiar with Islam besides mainstream media? Try IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
In the limelight.
Plastics are manufactured and often incinerated in the U.S. communities where poor people and people of color are rarely consulted or alerted to the risks. Studies have shown how rampant the plastic crisis is, finding microplastics in deep sea animals, in fish, in bodies, and even in rain. In this regard, we have prepared an article for you written by Yvette Arellano, researcher. This article is published under the heading, U.S. Latinx and Low-Income Communities Are Paying Human Costs of Plastic Pollution. Stay tuned for more. Plastics are manufactured and often incinerated in the U.S. communities where poor people and people of color are rarely consulted or alerted to the risks. These communities are living this pollution every day and understand the connections between air, water, land, ocean, and human health in very personal and concrete ways. The Clean Air Task Force estimates that 1.8 million Latinx people in the U.S. live within half a mile of an oil and gas facility, increasing odds of preterm birth and respiratory illness. The production of plastic feedstocks and the raw fossil fuels used to make most plastics affect communities' immune, reproductive, developmental, and respiratory systems starting 8 outside factory fence lines. It is no surprise that the communities have been hit the hardest by the COVID-19 as the immune systems are already compromised. Plastic pollution violates their human rights to breathe without fear. Plastic also fuels the climate crisis and contributes to climate change at every step of its life cycle, from extraction to refinement, manufacture, transportation, disposal, and waste. If plastic production and use grow as currently planned, emissions from plastic production could reach 1.34 gigatons per year by 2030, equivalent to the emissions released by more than 295 new 500 megawatt coal-fired power plants. 99% of plastic is derived from fossil fuels, and the direct impact its production has in the U.S. communities is a real global crisis. Studies have shown how rampant the plastic crisis is, finding microplastics in deep-sea animals, in fish, in bodies, and even in rain. States, the federal government, and consumers need to hold companies accountable by incentivizing them to, in a way, demanding that they use less packaging, consider reusable or refillable options, and take the plastic life cycle into account in purchasing. Initiatives that appear across the state and federal efforts include incentivizing shower gel manufacturers to offer refills or reusable options, and to manage any waste they produce without a goal of recycling at least 65% by 2027, starting as early as 2023, requiring hotels and motels to have bulk stations for shampoo and conditioner instead of the mini shampoo, soap, and lotion containers, and requiring restaurants and food vendors to only give out compostable utensils and plastic straws upon request. The U.S. plastic industry lobby, backed by the U.S. fossil fuels industry, is already pushing back on these state and national efforts. The poor communities of the U.S. need to hold accountable those who profit the most from pollution, and these bills across the U.S. and in Washington, D.C. are a great start. The truth is that plastic isn't cheap. Its cost is externalized to those at the fence lines of extraction, production, and waste. It's time to address the plastic pollution crisis at the national level. Thousands of green Latinos and members of the global Break Free from Plastics movement are calling on Congress to break society's addiction to plastic. U.S. Latinx communities have long-standing practices that demonstrate to society ways to live without plastics. They must strive to end the harm that plastics are having on health, the lives, and climate and culture, and the planet Earth totally.
This is A to Z. An introduction to Islamic lifestyle. Today's lesson: why do we develop bad habits? Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Most Beneficent, the Most Merciful. Bad habits interrupt your life and prevent you from accomplishing your goals. These bad habits jeopardize your health, both mentally and physically. And they waste your time and energy, right? These are the things that, if you notice, every bad habit, you know, may have one or all of these traits and qualities. They're actually impacting your life. Those habits are not just, you know, oh, it's just there, it's part of me, yeah, whatever I do. No. It's way deeper than that. It starts impacting your relationships. It starts impacting your stature, your place in the society, your dignity, right? Some habits are so lethal that they are actually very bad for our reputation, right? So all of these things have to be taken into consideration. We can't just ignore by saying that, oh, it's just a habit, I do it, right? Look at the pros and cons. Now, how can you delete and remove your bad behavior and stick to good ones instead? This is something we all need to find out. You know, if there's a bad habit, one of the questions you should be asking yourself is, so why am I still doing it when I realize it's bad? And most importantly, is there anything that I can do about it? Most of your bad habits are caused by two things. And this is, you know, something very important for all of us to realize. One of them is stress. You know, when we become pressured, when we take stress. And the second one is boredom. You know, when we are bored to death, you know, we don't know what to do with our lives, you know, then we pick up on one of these bad habits. It could be, God forbid, drinking or doing drugs or, you know, so on and so forth. You know, the list is exhaustive one. So, yeah, these are the things you should be asking yourself to help yourself get out of those habits. Welcome back to your listeners. Today we are discussing the topic of why do we develop bad habits? When we know they're bad, why in the world do we keep doing it? So we're discussing that, okay? Most of the time, bad habits are simply a way of dealing with stress and boredom. Everything from biting your nails to overspending on a shopping spree to wasting time on the internet can be a simple response to stress and boredom. But it doesn't have to be that way. You can teach yourself new and healthy ways to develop and deal with stress and boredom, which you can then substitute in place of your bad habits, right? Sometimes we just try to leave a vacuum, you know, just completely let go of this bad habit and I'm just gonna sit and look at the walls. Well, no, try to replace it with something that is going to fill up that vacuum. Of course, sometimes the stress or boredom that is on the surface is actually caused by deeper issues. That too, you know, we realize while we're discussing this. These issues can be tough to think about, but if you are serious about making changes, then you have to be honest with yourself. Are there certain beliefs or reasons that are behind that bad habit? Is there something deeper, a fear or an event or a limiting belief that is causing you to hold on to something that is bad for you? Recognizing the causes of your bad habits is crucial to overcoming them. You know, sometimes we are so focused on the habit itself, we don't look at those triggers and those causes that put you in that position where you repeat that habit. dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, thank you very much for staying with us till the end of today's episode of A to Z. Don't forget to log on to our website at www.parstoday.com, Call of Islam page. We leave you all in the care of Allah. Till next time, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Just listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran's broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1520 to 1620 UTC on the following frequencies. Short wave, 41 meters, 7410 kilohertz for Indian subcontinent, and FM 91.5 megahertz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and IranSat or BAT 5 and via internet. Our internet address is parstoday.com/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program P.O. Box 19395-6767 Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
This is IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. Bismillahi ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina wa maulana Abil Qasim al-Mustafa Muhammad wa ala ahli baytihi at-tayyibin at-tahirin al-ma'sumin. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, dear listeners. Welcome to another episode of Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio. Again, in continuing with the tradition of Imam As-Sadiq alayhi salam on the units of Aql, rather the units that were within the army of Aql and the units that were in the army of Jahl, we reach this segment of the beautiful, lengthy tradition of Imam As-Sadiq alayhi salam, where he mentions that that unit which is for the Aql is Sidq, truthfulness, and that which is for the Jahl is Kadhib or Kidhb, you know, depending on how you want to read the tradition. So the Imam alayhi salam again is showing that, you know, as we mentioned, that the concept that the Imam mentioned is very general. It can be applied differently. Sometimes, you know, you can even flip it. But again, this needs to be understood in the context that we are speaking in. But here's Sidq, for example, our first and most foremost thing is that you are truthful, that you do not lie, especially at times where lying, you know, should not be done. You do not cheat others. And it goes back with the concept of wafa. So as we notice that many of these characteristics actually are interrelated. And therefore we saw that at the beginning of the tradition, that concept of goodness was at the head of the army of intellect, because all of these things are included in goodness. They are all good things, because all good things lead to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hence we see that the Imam is speaking in a very general way. And as we mentioned previously, all of these particular traits have many different instances, reference, and degrees. Again, according to how a person wishes to exercise them. And therefore we see on the other side as well, the jahl has degrees, the jahl has many instances. And at times it can also be a part that is something good, depending on the context. But in a very general way, in a normal circumstances, yes. What the Imam is saying is generally true. So here when the Imam mentions Sidq, normally a person should be honest, should not lie, should, you know, keep up his promises and so on and so forth. And on the other side, he shouldn't, you know, be disloyal, he shouldn't lie. He shouldn't just, you know, lie about others. Again, this leads to other things like backbiting, like, you know, khiyana and treachery, and so on and so forth. So this is something important to understand from this tradition, that there are degrees, there are levels, and so on and so forth. We cannot just say this is what, you know. It is possible, as I have been mentioning throughout our discussions, that one of the possible meaning could be this, another one could be that. So here, Sidq obviously is that truthfulness, that, you know, a person should be first truthful with themselves, truthful to others, and so on and so forth. One of the means of being truthful with one